Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Quick Slants with Bethel University head football coach Steve Johnson. Quick Slants is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Bethel coach questions about the Royals, football or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the very hard-fought battle against St. John's and what he's expecting against Carleton this week. He discusses the excitement about his Chicago Cubs entering the playoffs, and the coach tells us what he's praising the Lord about. So let's get right to Quick Slants.
Let's welcome back.
Trying to find a quiet room here. So here we go.
Okay. Let's welcome back Coach Johnson this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
We're doing well. You know, I'm excited about our growth as a team, and we're, our players are staying together. You know, I mean, practice is enthusiastic and joyful, and you know, there's a grind to it. There's it's a lot of fun, but boy, there's a lot of, you know, you got to work through some things, and we're just feeling good about young guys growing and other guys leading, and so there's good excitement.
Well, let's talk about last week's game. First of all, great battle with St. John's. Even though you come up a little short, you guys played exceptionally well in that game. So what are some things you take away from that contest?
I think the biggest thing for us, and it's kind of in the inner part of us, is that we want to kind of declare who we are, and then be that. And we talk about that as individuals. We talk to our guys all the time and coaches about, you know, what kind of man do you want to be, and make that declaration, write it on a rock, and then go be that guy. And you know, we're never done, and we're never, you know, as Christian men, we're never done. We're never good enough, and we're good enough already because we're redeemed. So, you know, just having that effort toward becoming and staying who we are, and that's not that easy as a man or as a football team, and we feel like, I don't know if we've gotten away from anything, but we had a great week of practice, kind of just saying, hey, we're going to run the ball, we're going to be a powerful running game, and then make some plays offensively, but the main thing is going to be just the defensive intensity, tenacity, discipline, that is the toughness and kind of trademark of who we are, and that part of us is really growing, and so that is that's kind of where we're feeling pretty good right now. We're running the ball better. We got, you know, young backs and a rebuilt offensive line. But, you know, we will kind of have a really good physical punch offensively, and then defensively running around pretty good with discipline and being real physical. And so that was manifest itself, but it didn't just show up Saturday. It was something that we really worked toward. And so there's good growth that way for not only for this week, but even marching onward.
Are there things after a game like that where you look back and you say to yourself, you know, if we did this one play differently, or if there was something that was different, then we come away with the win?
Well, you know what? There's not a game that goes by where you don't have those things, and, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, that gets you nowhere. You gotta walk a certain way, and if you have something that, you know, maybe you should have done this or could have done this, if, well, this didn't happen, well, that did happen. You know, you can't live your life that way either. And we have a saying that don't should on yourself. And, you know, we have a tendency to do that too much, and we're kind of like, you know, you got to learn from the past, but you can't live in the past. You know, same thing as you can't look toward the future and not do today. And so there's really a balance of that, and it's a great thing about the game of football, to where you can work through those things and, you know, do that together. But you can't second-guess things, and you do. You have to, I don't know what the word is, but you have to evaluate and move on. But, you know, second guess yourself isn't healthy.
Okay, so last week you talked to us about the performance of Sam Gibbous and how well he had played against St. Olaf. This week he comes up with 85 yards against St. John's. You have to be really pleased about his performance.
No, Sam and both Sam and Gideon Ebehar are just playing great. They're young guys that are you know, they're naive enough to think that they ought to be getting yards against you know, a pretty good defense, but they're just tough kids that are you know, they're bought in, and you know, we're just so excited about the way that they're playing. They've got some real gifts. Sam is a speedster. Gideon, he just has a great feel, and he's got great speed too. And so they're kind of a nice 1-2 punch. And then the other guy who doesn't get the yards, but our fullback Levi Dunick is a real physical fullback who has really helped us, you know, kind of strengthen our running game, and we're getting a little bit of execution up front from our younger players who have had to, you know, kind of move around to patch up our old line. So some of these things are coming together, and it turns into yards and first downs, and it's great.
One thing I wanted to add in for this week and continuing forward is to give you the opportunity to talk about who you saw as stars on offense, defense, and special teams each week. So who were some people that stand out in each of those categories for you from the St. John's game?
Well, defensively, our defensive front did a great job, and we had a couple sacks that were you know, where we didn't have to, you know, sometimes you get a sack because you sent the house, you know. Godfrey and Petty is a mainstay up front for us, and a senior that's a great player for us, and Kyle Kilgore at defensive end, and maybe our most consistent guy all year has been Cam Munson up there along with Trevor Hess. And so that front four has been terrific. And you know, DB Kale Farron got a key pick at the end of the game to give us a chance to tie the game late, and he's played well. And so Trey Anderson's made a pretty significant move from offense to defense, quarterback to cornerback, and so all those guys have, I mean, it's just been really exciting. And then offensively, you know, Jake Marsh is growing, and Bryce Marcourt, you know, has had to battle through injuries also, and he's getting a little bit more healthy. So he played a great game too. He's just an exciting player, and he just really gets the game. And so, you know, he's just effective, and you know, not just gifted, but effective. And so, pretty proud of that. And the whole offensive line is doing well. So, you know, there's a lot of really, you know, great performances, and you know, disappointing loss at the same time. When you feel like you're growing, I would think that's any time in life when you feel like you're just growing towards something special. It's encouraging.
This week you take on the Carlton Knights. I know this is a team, and the way that the coaching staff runs the organization, that you really admire how they do things. So, what are some of the things that impress you about Carlton?
The kids just play really hard. Their quarterback is he's a bigger guy. They're probably, I mean, you wouldn't know if they can protect very well or not, because you know, they shotgun snap and the ball's gone. So we're gonna have to have our coverage right and do things well. And they've got a zillion formations, and so it causes the other team to be pretty vanilla, and that's what we will be. We kind of look forward to that. I like for us to be disciplined in our defense, and then, you know, play hard and play fast, and, you know, trust your reads, and then your enthusiasm and love for the game and each other shows up in physical play, because that's just the result of that. And so Carlton does what they can do well. Their coaches are really good at that. They aren't as deep as some other teams, and so they don't last as long, but boy, they play well and they play hard, and I just have a lot of respect for them.
Well, before heading on to fan questions, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the coach's beloved Cubs. So they take on the Washington Nationals beginning in the playoffs. So what are your thoughts about that matchup?
You know, I think I'm really excited that the Cubs made the playoffs, and here they go. You know, and I just feel like they don't have the marquee pitching, but I really, you know, they're starting with Hendricks, and I love him, and I think that you know, if he can put the ball where he wants to put it, he can be greatly effective. And then the Cubs just have to be aggressive. They drive me nuts a little bit when they get the Baez thing where, you know, it's kind of that all or nothing thing. And I'm kind of like, I love complete players, and I'd love it if Javi would be disciplined enough with two strikes and we need a run to go the opposite way. But I think the Cubs, you know, they're really talented and they're alone. So if they play well, you know, they can win. I am, you know, I try not to dislike teams very much, but on Washington, I don't like them. I don't like any other. I don't like anybody on Washington. You know, I don't think they're quite to where I feel about the Mets, but, you know, I kind of, you know, maybe I don't like whoever we're playing, but Washington, I get tired of them a little bit. And so I think it's going to be a good battle and looking forward to it. And there's really a lot of fun in the American League with Houston. They're a fun team, and you know how Cleveland's playing and everything else. And so I don't know. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully the Cubs can win.
Why do I think you would like Washington a whole lot better if they lost?
I'd like them a lot better if they lost. You know, I compare Harper to Bryant, and I just like Bryant's way better. You know, and I don't know Dusty Baker. I'll take Joe Madden any day. And yeah, I don't know. There's just some things about Washington where I don't like them. So. Well, I'll have to work on that. You know, the only reason I like them at all or love them at all is because God makes us. But other than that, I don't like them.
Let's end the fan questions. Jill would like to know, how do you feel that the MIAC has changed since you first started coaching at Bethel?
Wow. Yeah, I can't remember it. It's so weird, but I just feel like it is so competitive that it's incredible. You know, I just think, you know, we're facing. And this, you know, I'm not just saying this, but it's a little bit because I'm 61 years old, but these players are so fast and so good, and it doesn't matter what team you are, you know, and we've won big and lost big, and it just seems like the difference is not that big, you know, and these kids can really play. And, you know, if you lose by 4 points, you're just devastated. And it seems like dopey, because if you win by 4, you're really happy, but you're not, it doesn't match the devastation and the elation. You know, it's not different, but it's just like, you know, the grind is something that's important, but I really feel like the you know, differences, maybe there's some in the coaching, and when you say coaching, that just involves about 1,000 things, and some of it's even recruiting. And I just think that the schools have niches. They have general stuff, but they've also got a niche, and the coaches are doing well with those things. But I just think football in general it's really good at a lot of levels.
Shelley would like to know, what is an achievement that you are most proud of?
I would say probably conference championships at a place where, you know, I was going to say the first thing, and it really is true, but I didn't want to say it because they sound like a bozo, but my favorite thing is when that I hear that our guys are good dads, or, you know, they become good men, and they kind of blame our program for a lot of a good base. Okay, that would be number one. But football-wise, I think conference championships at a place that never thought they could ever win in this league is probably my favorite thing.
There's nothing bozo about being telling people to become good dads and stuff. That's awesome.
No, I know, but I don't want to. Yeah.
Reese would like to know, when recruiting, what are the kinds of things that you think attract a student to want to come to Bethel?
Well, that's a good question, but there's a million things that are going to attract kids to go to school, and especially in this day and age. That would be the biggest change in MIC is, you know, I remember going out into schools and talking to kids, and they had no idea who I was and or who Bethel was. And now sometimes that happens, but more often than not, everybody knows so much about everybody else. And so, you know, I mean, we could be competing for a kid in recruiting, and he's got 37 schools on his list, and he didn't even know they existed, you know, 10 years ago. And so I think we talk a lot about it, is that every school's got great stuff. We have a beautiful wellness center, and school's in a great location. It's a wonderful school or elite academically. You know, all the regular things are big. What we want young people to be attracted to is our guys and the fact that they're, you know, we're ragamuffins, but we're guys that love the Lord, love football, love each other, and you know, having that be authentic, where I want to be part of this group, that I want to be like these guys when I grow up. So, you know, what attracts somebody to Bethel, there's a zillion things, but what we'd like to attract is that I want to go to school with guys that are going to grow me, and that I can grow, and I can give my gifts away for free. So, you know, it's not hard to do. You know, we sometimes kids will be, there's a lot of reasons why they get attracted at first, but hopefully they would really attend here because of who they get to be with. And that's pretty much our recruiting deal.
Tom asks, he says, Coach, there seems to be a lot of emphasis on dehumanizing people so that it is easier to treat them badly. Isn't it time that people embrace your thinking to do things because of the love that you have for people instead of doing it out of hate?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the gospel. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not good at it all the time, but, you know, the only way to love people better is to put down your selfishness. Now, we need to love ourselves and care about ourselves, but not be quite as self-centered. And so, you know, we really talk about, I want to do a great job and work hard and love well, but I want to do that for you or for us. And, you know, that's the difference. We're so, everyone's selfish, but it's when we get so self-centered that we do have to dehumanize and be above, and those are things that get weird. And, you know, I guess the thing that I really want to, and this is not an easy thing, but we want to be faithful to what matters, and but we have to figure out what matters, you know. And so sometimes you get on these causes and, you know, is this a great cause to be a part of, or is it, you know, is it the flavor of the day? And, you know, trying to, you know, stay in a core that's, you know, and if that core has Jesus in it, then it's going to have love in it, because no greater love is there than to lay down your life. And so those are the pieces that I'd say, you know, we want to respect our opponents and play our guts out and what's next.
Craig would like to know, are the Bears really that bad?
You know, going back to even earlier in this interview, it's not like nobody's bad. Everybody's so good that, you know what I mean? It's so, you know, you take a few plays, and again, especially during the season, I don't get to watch much NFL, so I'm just kind of, I'm the worst guy to you know, to kind of be an analyst in this type of thing. But, you know, to lose to anybody in the NFL, that's easy. You know, because I think they might be getting better, but I don't know. Only coaches would know that. And then, you know, same with us. I feel like we're growing really well. And if we don't play well on Saturday, that doesn't mean we're not growing. But, you know, are we are we doing as good as we can? And sometimes we get so into evaluation of what just happened or does that we, you know, you have to look ahead, and you can't dwell on, you know, on losses or trials and be a baby. But boy, you got to do today as good as you can. And, you know, it's, you know, I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday or Sunday, but for the Bears, it's like the difference between winning and losing is so minuscule, you know. And so I don't think they're that bad, and I don't think whoever's undefeated is that good either. So here we go.
Sam asks, he says, I think after being so excited about seeing the Twins make the playoffs and then take the lead early on, only to watch them lose in the end, I think I have a little insight into what it must be like to be a football coach.
Yeah, and or a Cub fan. You know, I vividly remember I did have a chance to see kind of the first inning and the Twins get up. In fact, I didn't see us score the three runs. And then I got to the place where I saw a TV or computer or something where, you know, we got second and third with one out. And I was dreading if we didn't get at least one of those guys in. And this is how a Cub fan feels or thinks, I guess. You know, if we're in big trouble if we don't get one of these two guys from second and third in with only one out. And the next two guys promptly struck out, and I had a stomachache until we were losing, which wasn't very long from then. So,
Coach gets it.
I don't know. I don't know why I think this way, but it's, you know, it's not healthy. I'll be at counseling this afternoon.
Gary asks, he says, Coach, did you see when they were looking to change the wild card rules because they were concerned that if the Twins had beaten the Yankees, that it would be quote unquote unfair? Because New York had won six more games than Minnesota. Here's just another reason why to hate New York.
Yeah, I'm with you on the New York thing. I struggle with those guys, but I also feel like you know, baseball is a funny game, but to put it on one game, you know, one of the announcers, I thought it was a pretty good point. He said a few years ago there wasn't a game. So, it's kind of cool, but it could. But, you know, to win six more games than the Twins over 162 is not that big of a deal. So, you know, that is what it is. I would like this. I would like the season to be shorter and the wild card thing to be a three-game series. But I don't think it's unfair. I don't think it was unfair with, you know, Colorado and Arizona. It just is what it is, you know. Unfair would be if you change the rules later, you know. So it is what it is, and the wisdom of their stuff. So, you know, it does the New York, you know, you're always going to get those guys either arrogant or complaining. So
absolutely.
Just live with it. Yeah.
Returning back to the NFL, Phil would like to know, he says, I don't understand why a team takes a quarterback early in the draft and then doesn't play him.
Well, I understand that completely. It's like, are you ready to go? When I first came to Bethel, we had some really good players that they would have to wait to play nowadays, but we had to put them on the field right away, and they never gained the confidence that they really should have, because against a bad team, they would be good and dominate, and against a good team, they would get, you know, smoked. And then by the time they were seniors, the same thing was happening. So they didn't grow the way they should because they never had to wait. And I just think that there's a process that kind of goes through, and there's some quarterbacks are ready to roll and can slow the game down enough, you know, because, you know, even at our level, you know, we practice and all of a sudden you go to a game and the speed of everything is just amplified, you know, tenfold at least. And our kids that have played before at the college level adapt to that way faster than the freshmen, even if they were at a big school like Eden Prairie. And so I understand totally that, you know, if these guys aren't ready, you could screw them up. and you know, Watson's ready, maybe Trubisky's ready, but you know, I think yeah, you're really kind of. I always trust the coaches. I don't really want front office to, you know, put pressure on coaches on who they feel like they ought to play. But there's just so many more factors to it than we, you know, as fans that we don't really understand. And you know, especially in Chicago, the most popular guy in town is the backup goalie and the backup quarterback, and that's been my whole life.
Byron,
they still complain about Corey Crawford, you know, so it's like you can't win down there.
Byron asks, he says, who do you see finishing higher in the standings this season, the Wild or the Blackhawks?
Well, the Blackhawks, of course, but, you know, the Wild second. I love the Wild, but I'm way more invested in the Blackhawks, and those are my top two teams. So if I have to pick one or two, I'm picking the Hawks, and I think the Hawks are really good. You know, they kind of had some struggles, but I think that they're going to be good. But it's kind of like baseball, you know, it's like you get a series and you play a zillion games, and then, you know, I was listening to somebody on the radio the other day about, you know, sometimes these teams that, you know, make the, you know, they come in, they have a big fight to get to the playoffs, and then they're hot, and then they fly through and win the Stanley Cup, you know what I mean? So it's a weird thing with the tournaments that happen. So, you know, the Hawks and the Wild, I want them to both get to the playoffs, and then you know, it's a whole new season, you know.
Gina, she says, you were such a great man of God, and so is your brother. Your dad must have been an amazing guy.
Yeah, he was. He had a happy heart, and the best gift he ever gave us was he lived out what it meant to be grateful.
That's awesome.
That's all you're getting. I'll start crying in a minute here.
So let's finish up with what we're praising the Lord about and saying hallelujah anyhow, too.
Praise the Lord that, you know, just so we're talking about the legacy of people that have gone before, and, you know, hope I can, you know, leave good stuff, you know, not to be measured or better than someone else or not as good as someone. I mean, not to be measured, but I think if we all, you know, be thankful for what we've been given that's grown us, even bad stuff, we got a chance. And then hallelujah anyway, same deal. You know, there's nothing perfect under the sun, and nobody can be a perfect dad or kid, and you know, how we react to stuff and walk in him is going to be the deal. So here we go.
That's awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
Okay. Love you, man.
We want to thank Coach Johnson for joining us on Quick Slants this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Bethel University coach, please send them to us at stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Quick Slants.